You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, even though today is a taped program, because I'm actually not anywhere near Chicago right now, we have a really exciting show lined up for you. And to convince you of this, I want to let you know, first of all, that today is the ninth day of Christmas, and I am sitting here with a big old unstylish Christmas sweater. I'm just pulling out all the stops this morning for the ninth day of Christmas. So a lot of times people say, oh, you know, Christmas is over on December 26th. That is not true, though. It's the ninth day of Christmas, and I think that means they're like nine ladies dancing, eight lords a-leaping, seven swans a-swimming, and so forth. So I hope you and your family are having a very joyful Christmas today here on the ninth day of Christmas, January 3rd, 2007. And friends, we have one of the best Life Talk shows yet coming up today. I'm really excited about this. We have some really fun guests, people who I really admire, and I also just love them, just really great people. We're going to have a lot of issues to cover today with you. And these folks, I have them here with me in the studio. They're looking at me in wonderment at my unfashionable but bold Christmas sweater. And they are Joe and Ann Scheidler. And Joe and Ann, welcome to Life Talk.
Thank you for having us. And I love your sweater.
Oh, well, thank you so
much. I did wear a red
shirt. That's right. That's right. You're definitely in the spirit,
I'm
Ann.
In the
that's
spirit.
Right. That's right. And, you know, these are really wonderful. Oh, and by the way, Brian Brock, who's our engineer today, wants to point out that he has on a Christmas tie of Santa, like plugging in some lights or something. So way to go, Brian. And Margie Mansko is here to help us produce as well, but she is still in the Advent theme, always liturgically correct. So we appreciate that from Margie. She keeps us all on track. That's great. I'm so excited about this program today. Joe and Ann Scheidler, really wonderful people, generous people. How many children do you have?
Seven.
Seven children. And
we have 15 grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Praise God.
There are two on the way.
Oh, really? Yep. Wonderful.
We love new life.
Congratulations. Oh, absolutely. That is so beautiful. And Anne, you look so great. You know, no one would think there's a woman who's had seven kids. They'd more think like, you know, maybe she's had one or two or something. So you look terrific, Anne. You look just great.
How do I look?
Let's not talk about that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having a good time here. So, Joel, you look great too. Okay. So, but you know, I'm just going to say it. All of us know it. And I'm just going to say it that with me today in the studio are people who are giants in the pro-life movement. Joe Scheidler was called the Green Beret of the pro-life movement. So I don't know if I should, then kind of crouch down and take, you know, sort of a, I don't know, furtive position here, you know, being very strategic in the pro-life movement. But Joe is the Green Beret of the pro-life movement. He's been involved with promoting sidewalk counseling. He's written a number of books, including a closed 99 ways to stop abortion. He's a dynamic speaker. He's been a media guest on a wide range of shows, including ABC News, Nightline, Donahue, Crossfire, Face the Nation, Good Morning America, The O'Reilly Factor. He's been featured in USA Today and the Chicago Tribune. And also, of course, this is the Scheidler who's been featured in the national media as the chief defendant in a RICO lawsuit that was brought against him, the Pro-Life Action League and other pro-life activists by the National Organization for Women and two abortion clinics. And all of us know that this case has been before the Supreme Court, what, three times?
Three times before the court, right.
Three times before the Supreme Court. That's just one case. So these are folks who have just given their lives, literally, for the pro-life movement. I feel so blessed to know you, to call you my friends, to learn from you. It's just such a blessing to be with you. And when I started at the Archdiocese of Chicago, which was January 2nd of 2003, as the director of the Respect Life Office, I talked with Father Frank Pavone, and he said, Mary Louise, you should get together with Joe and Ann Scheibler. And we met, and it was wonderful. And I've just it's just such a blessing to work in the pro-life movement with you. So so we are talking today about the 34th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade decision. On January 22nd of 1973, nine unelected men decided that abortion should be legal in the United States throughout all 9 months of pregnancy and even during birth, essentially, with their decisions of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. And at the time, I wasn't born. I was not even in the womb at that time, so I was not around.
So you're technically a survivor.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm a survivor. In fact, actually looking between the, kind of reading between the lines, you might say, I've kind of discerned that I was not necessarily expected. So I'm very grateful that my parents, you know, let me live, gave me life, you know, thanks, Mom and Dad. But I could have been somebody who had been aborted, like one-fourth of my generation, and all of us live with that. And now that's essentially two generations, the latter end of Generation X, which I am, and the millennials, you know, that there's a more than a fourth of us who are missing. And to know that that could have been me is definitely something that I live with every day. So, you know, surprises are sometimes very good things, I think.
Definitely.
But we're all surprises.
We had a couple surprises, I think, among our seven.
That is great.
That is such blessing.
That is great. Praise God. And so, when we look back, though, at January 22nd of 1973, what was it like? I understand that many people said that abortion would solve many of the problems of our nation. Every child would be a wanted child. There wouldn't be child abuse anymore. There wouldn't be poverty anymore. Women would be more respected. And in fact, we've seen the opposite. We've seen domestic abuse increase dramatically. We've seen child abuse increase dramatically. We've seen poverty just getting worse and worse in our country. What was the sense of the nation at that time, when the Roe v. Wade decision was made?
Well, what I remember was how surprised I was that more people weren't outraged.
Really?
They just took it. It was another Supreme Court ruling, and the Supreme Court could not make a mistake, so it must be the right thing. They had found it in the Constitution somewhere in the penumbra. But that surprised me. I read the decision right away. I read Doe v. Bolton along with Roe v. Wade, and that's when it makes it clear it's for the full 9 months.
Right.
And it's for any reason at all or no reason, basically. That's what surprised me, because abortion had been legalized even in some of the states and in other countries, but never a wide-open 9-month abortion on demand that we had now with the Supreme Court ruling. It was outrageous. It was frightening. And my first thought was that the nation will not survive. This is a suicide note to kill off your posterity. We had no idea the numbers would be so enormous. When you mentioned 1 out of 4, in those days it was 1 out of 3.
Wow.
Children. Abortion just, wow. They popped right away. A clinic started showing up all across Chicago. I passed one every day. I didn't know it was an abortion clinic, but right away they were ready.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's what was frightening to me. And so I looked for people who were opposed to it, and went to whatever meetings I could find. Illinois Right to Life was already in existence and had put out a film on what's coming, so they were prognostic. But you couldn't find many people that were really concerned about it.
Hmm. And this is a Life Talk radio program here on AM 820, Relevant Radio. And we're talking with Joe and Ann Scheibler today about the 34th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade decision. And that 34th anniversary will take place on January 22nd of 2007, so just a few weeks away. We need to head to a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit with Ann Scheibler. You know, behind every great man is a great woman, and I'd like to get some of Anne's perspectives on why she decided to basically give her life, and also why Joe has decided to give his life to promoting a culture of life. And also maybe we can get into a little bit of, were you guys married at that time of the Roe decision, or were you not, and how did you meet? We might even get to a few of those interesting facts, and we'll be talking also about a very important important letter that Cardinal George wrote regarding this 34th anniversary. All this and more right after the break. Stay with us here on Life Talk.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
From the moment you see the dramatic cover photo of an angel atop a church watching over the city of Chicago, you know you're about to enjoy a very special book. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith, is a treasure chest of photographs, paintings, and historic perspective. Every church in the Archdiocese of Chicago is featured. The book provides readers with insight into our Catholic heritage, ministry, evolution, and challenges. A Journey of Faith makes a great gift with more than 340 pages of photos and history printed on gloss paper, hardcover, color throughout. It is available at many parishes, or you can call Liturgy Training Publications at 1-800-933-1800 or order online at ltp.org. So call 1-800-933-1800 or go to ltp.org. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith. Display it proudly in your home.
This is Cardinal Francis George. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, we experience a rebirth of our faith, and we strengthen anew our efforts to live our faith in every aspect of our daily lives. As the shepherds follow the star to Bethlehem, we too keep our eyes and our lives focused upon Jesus Christ during this joyful season and throughout the new year. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio, and Merry Christmas.
And welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Those were the words of our beloved Cardinal, Cardinal George. And I'm just really blessed to be joined in the studio today by Joe and Ann Scheidler, who are absolutely renowned internationally for their contributions to the pro-life movement here in the United States, all of their tremendous work. And we are talking about the 34th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which is taking place, that anniversary is taking place on January 22nd, 2007. And before the break, we were talking about kind of the sense of the nation, the national reaction when the Roe decision came out. And Ann, tell us a little bit about, first of all, were you and Joe married at the time when that decision came out, and how did you feel about that decision yourself? How did that affect you personally?
Well, it really affected me very personally because, yes, we were married. We'd been married 8 years. We were expecting our fourth baby. I was 4.5 months pregnant, so I'm halfway through when the decision came down on January 22nd. It was totally out of the blue. We did not know that this was being considered. It hadn't been following the national agenda of the abortion lobbies. Illinois had a law against abortion, and Illinois at that time was a very pro-life state, and there was no danger that it was going any other direction. Mm-hmm. So we hadn't really given it a great deal of thought, and then boom, all of a sudden, here I've got this baby in utero, and the United States government thinks she's expendable. Mm. I didn't know it was a she at the time. I had four boys, and this was my first girl, but we didn't know that till she was born in May.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt like, how can that be? How can this country do that to its children?
Mm.
And, you know, like Joe, started trying to figure out, what can we do? So right away, we looked for, where can we get involved? What can we do about this? And we called Illinois Right to Life. They were having a meeting coming up, and so we went thinking, it will be crowded. Everybody will feel the same way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there, and I think maybe there were 20 or 30 people.
Wow.
Yeah, a metropolitan area of 7 or 8 million, and there's 20 or 30 people who care. And it was all, at that time, connected to a lobbying group called Illinois Citizens Concerned for Life.
Ah, okay.
So they'd have those both of those meetings kind of simultaneously.
Okay.
So that was two groups, really, that were meeting, and mm-hmm. almost no one who cared.
Now, there are a lot of people probably during that time who went to pro-life meetings, but very few of them have given, I guess, the commitment that you guys have to this issue of protecting human life from conception until natural death. But in particular, I know that your work focuses on abortion, where there are the largest number of lives lost, more than 47 million now in the United States, which is absolutely shocking. More than 47 million children have been killed through abortion since 1973. Absolutely shocking. But what really drove you to give everything for building a culture of life, for the gospel of life as proclaimed by Jesus Christ? What has compelled you to give everything for that mission?
Well, I think what got me was I love this country. I've read a lot about it. I love history. And I think we're a special nation, that we're blessed by God. And we've been a very godly nation, in at least essentially, in our documents and so on. We're God-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so
Yes. It
seemed to me such a slap in the face. God, we know God as creator. That's the only way we know him, really, because we're creatures of his, and he loves his creation. And then for a government to say his creation can be dumped, can be destroyed for someone's convenience, and that's not going to be the law of the land. That was such a betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a slap in God's face, and also the founding fathers, the nation. So I was in, you know, at the end of World War II, I was serving in my country, and I was in the Navy.
Wow,
and I really love America. And so I thought, this will destroy. Like I say, it was a suicide mm-hmm. note. It's saying your posterity. Well, the whole thing is posterity. That's what we protect, and we have all these rights were geared up for us in 2000. But anyway, that got me, and then the fact that Kathy was, Anne had this little baby, and suddenly my government had decided the baby was worthless, was junk.
Mm.
And that was just, that was a slap in my face. And so I thought, well, they slapped everybody now, so we're going to slap them back, and we're going to change this thing. We are going to change it, because it's evil incarnate. It's in its essence. It's objective evil. And so we can't survive under this. So we just decided we do the things that work. You go to the abortion clinics. You tell the young women going in there what they're doing. You show the pictures of what they're doing to their child. In other words, you've got to be aggressive. You can't just write novel books, letters, things like that. We do that too,
but you have
to do everything. Mm-hmm. I figure
we never envisioned, though, we would still be doing this in the 34th anniversary.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. We thought, once the American people see and understand that the unborn baby is a human being, they'll all rise up in righteous indignation and fight against this. So we thought it would be a couple years, you know, and then life would go back to normal.
Mm. We're speaking with Jo and Ann Schuyler from the Pro-Life Action League about the 34th anniversary of Roe versus Wade here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. And, you know, proclaiming the gospel of life with boldness, as you say, Jo, I think that's so important. And we see in Christ's ministry that he always spoke the truth with love, but not apologetic. He spoke with boldness, and he would reach people where they were at. What was the most persuasive approach for this group? And I think that that's what we see with the pro-life movement, that there are many gifts but one spirit, you might say, that there are some who are attorneys and they focus on legislative matters like Tom Brekka. There are some like you who do the Face the Truth tours, who show people what abortion looks like. There are some like Margie Mansko-Breen and Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. We'll be talking about this later in the show, about post-abortion healing. There are some who do chastity education. Those people must be crazy. No, I'm just kidding. Passionate areas, but there are many gifts but one spirit. But what is the importance of having a pro-life presence in the parishes? You know, Cardinal George, and this is something very important that I want all listeners to know about. Cardinal George, on December 1st of 2006, so just recently, about a month ago, sent out a letter to every priest in a parish in the Archdiocese, about 800 or so. Actually, I think it's more like 1,000. And the letter reminds them that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has designated January 22nd, which is a Monday this year, as a particular day of penance for violations to the dignity of the human person committed through acts of abortion, and of prayer for the full restoration of the legal guarantee of the right to life. And so this is a liturgical observance, that January 22nd is a day of penance and prayer for the Roe v. Wade anniversary. And Cardinal George's letter goes on to say that asking priests to have their homily and intercessory prayers for that weekend of Sunday, January 21st. He says, "I'd be grateful if your homily and intercessory prayers for the weekend of Sunday, January 21st would explain how the common good is violated by a legal system that does not protect the unborn, the most defenseless among us." So, listeners, if you're in the Archdiocese of Chicago right now, you can help your parish priests by contacting them. We're going to have this letter on the website, which is www.archchicago.org, and say, how can I assist you in fulfilling Cardinal George's directives for this weekend of January 21st and the following day, January 22nd. We're encouraging parishes to have prayer vigils and things like this. And also the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has actually Preaching for Life notes. They make it really easy for day of January 22nd. But Joanne Ann, how important do you think it is to have a pro-life presence in the parish, like these parish prayer vigils, parish respect life committees? Do you think that this makes a difference?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, back when we first got involved, there wasn't anything coordinated yet in the parishes for respect life. And I felt so strongly about it that I went and asked our pastor if I could speak at the masses on Mother's Day. And I guess it must have been October. It must have been October after the decision, because I already had my baby. Right. So I took Kathy with me at 4 months old and into the pulpit and gave this little talk about how her life was not valued when she was in the womb, and we need to you know, rise up and take action and get involved and you know, restore Absolutely. Respect for life in this country. And I think, you know, finally when the Bishops Conference organized the Respect Life coordinators, Respect Life offices, and got that going, it's really, really important, because your average person is still not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
They still do not know. Many people don't know that abortion is legal for the full 9 months. It's been 34 years, and they still do not know this.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, last summer we were out in front of the Art Institute with our truth tour and our big pictures, and there were two women walking by, both of them had strollers, two young moms, little kids in their strollers, looked at this picture of a second trimester aborted baby, and I heard one say to the other, "Well, that's not even legal. What are they protesting about?"
Huh. That's
so
remarkable.
You know, we've got to find
that's
ways
remarkable.
To reach people, and getting those people who are coming to church, which I realize is not the full number of people who claim to be Catholics, but those people who are coming to church, these are the people who I think will be more likely to be concerned and do
absolutely.
Something and talk to their families and talk to their neighbors and their
absolutely.
Coworkers.
Right.
They
Empowering
need to
the
be
faithful.
Educated. Right.
Absolutely.
You know, the one entity that the abortionists were absolutely terrified of, and still are, if it ever get together, is the Catholic Church. And that's why they had to go after the bishops.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go after the Catholic teaching and morality and so on, because that would stop abortion. With the numbers we have, with what our church teaches and all, we could stop abortion in America if people became active in the movement, if all parishes really took this seriously. That's where the power is. It's in the believing people can stop this enormous offense against God.
Yes, absolutely. We need to head to another break, and when we come back, we're going to have one more segment with Joe and Ann Scheidler. And again, friends, if you'd like to find this letter from Cardinal George to all priests and parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago, log on to www.archchicago.org. Again, that's archchicago.org, www.archchicago.org, to download this letter from Cardinal George to priests on the Roe v. Wade anniversary. And stay with us. We'll be back right after a very quick break here on Life Talk.
As winter sets in, Catholic Charities seeks help for the homeless. I'm Father Mike Boland, the administrator of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese, and I invite you to join us in our efforts to clothe and feed the poor. Catholic Charities is in need of warm items in our clothing rooms. We are collecting coats, gloves, hats, blankets, and sleeping bags for the homeless. Donations can be dropped off at our emergency assistance office at 721 North LaSalle, or you can visit our website at www.catholiccharities.net. Help Catholic Charities provide a little warmth this winter.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Four Catholic elementary schools celebrate the national honor of being named No Child Left Behind Blue Ribbon Schools. We visited all four schools to see what makes them special. And talk about overcoming adversity. This woman was aborted at 7 months, survived, and is now a pro-life speaker, a singer-songwriter, and has completed a couple of marathons, despite having cerebral palsy. You gotta meet Gianna Jessen.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
And welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, with Joe and Ann Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League. And we're talking about the 34th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which is coming up on January 22nd, 2007. And there are so many activities coming up around this anniversary by the pro-life movement about educating people and building a culture of life and praying for a transformation of our nation. One is this Archdiocesan Mass for Life that Cardinal George will be celebrating. That is on January 6th at 5 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka. Again, that's the Archdiocesan Mass for Life. We started this a few years ago. And Anne, what do you think about having a Mass that is focused, celebrated by Cardinal George, that's focused specifically on ending abortion?
Oh, I think that's a great idea. People really do respect Cardinal George a great deal, and when he places a lot of emphasis on this issue, it translates into people wanting to do something more. So, and I think it's great that it happens to fall on the traditional Epiphany this year, because it's, you know, a combination celebration of our Lord's life and celebration of life, you know, in general.
Right, absolutely. That happened because Cardinal George was scheduled to go to an ISIL meeting, and these are usually very far away, South Africa or New Zealand. So we wanted to make sure that the Mass was at a time before the meeting so he could make it. So, absolutely. We've seen such leadership from Cardinal George on these life issues.
We have. And, we're so grateful for that.
Absolutely. It's such a great blessing. So that is on January 6th, Saturday at 5 p.m. That fulfills your Sunday obligation, friends, and you also get to spend Epiphany with Cardinal George, and there's going to be a reception afterwards. It's a beautiful parish, St. Stanislaus Kostka. For more information, you can call our office at 312-751-5355. 312-751-5355. And then there's the March for Life, the 34th March for Life, which will take place in Washington, D.C. on January 23rd, actually. Or is that right? Or is it the 22nd? It's that Monday.
I think it does it fall
is
on the actual day
That's
this
right.
year.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And what's the significance, you know, of the March for Life? It gets very little media attention when you consider there are more than 100,000 people out there participating. This will be, I don't even know, my ninth one or something. I mean, you guys pretty much make it to the march every year. And what's the significance? Why do you think it's important?
Well, they started this way back right after Roe v. Wade. They had a march in Detroit, and Nellie Gray came up with the idea of getting people together and having a public demonstration opposed to the abortion ruling, and so it just kept growing and growing. I think it's way over 100. It was 250 at one time, 250,000 one
really?
Time I was there. It's been that high and maybe even higher. On Nellie doesn't worry much about the numbers anymore because the media always lies anyway. So
yeah,
they'll play it
yeah.
way down and say that both sides met. You know, there'll be six mm-hmm. of them and a half a million of ours, and mm-hmm. both sides were represented. So she doesn't worry much about that.
But right, it's ridiculous.
It's an
yeah.
opportunity for a whole lot of people to get together and exchange ideas and to show how the movement is growing and how many
yes.
young people are in the movement. And
yes.
I just think it gives you a shot in the arm to go back and keep up the fight.
Right.
I like to go because I meet people from all over the country that I'm all over the world, in fact, that I've spoken to and met before. And it's a reassurance that we're mm-hmm. on the right track. We will win.
Absolutely.
We are winning. We're in the process of winning now.
Absolutely.
Abortion clinics are closing. People are getting wise to what abortion is. Young people realize mm-hmm. they're survivors like you.
Right.
That you could have been aborted and nobody right. would have known you. So
right.
We do have to keep this up. This is something, it's the crisis of our times, of our age. And I think we're going to be judged partly on what we do at this time that they are destroying life. You know, there's no greater value we have besides the divine life than human life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to fight for it. Really fight,
yes.
not just feel bad about abortion, but do something to stop it and bring a respect for life back into this country.
Amen.
And you know,
Amen.
we're going to planning this year at the march, because there's so many young people who come to that
yes.
march now. This year we're planning to do a distribution of literature to give young people some ideas of where to go the next day. You know, you march
That's
today,
great.
What are you going to do tomorrow? So they take that energy and enthusiasm and they put it into action when they get home.
Yes, and speaking of which, that's actually a great segue. But before we leave that topic of the March for Life, we may actually have a little space for the March for Life with our pilgrimage. We have about 20 spots left, and our pilgrimage is phenomenal. It's got a lot of education. It's got a lot of fun, private gathering with Cardinal George and Father Frank Pavone, JP2 Cultural Center, and so forth. So if you're interested, call our office. We may still have space. 312-751-5355. That's 312-751-5355. And Anne, you were talking about things to do the next day. We've got to wrap this up very quickly, but tell us about Speak Out Illinois.
Speak Out Illinois. This is a unique coalition. I don't know of any other state that actually has what we have here in Illinois, with this coalition of about 34, 35 pro-life groups that get together to organize this Speak Out Illinois event, which this year will be on February 3rd, 2007 at
yes.
the Drury Lane Oakbrook. And we have three great workshops. We have Roger Hunt, who introduced the South Dakota legislation banning abortion, who's going to tell us how they got that going there and what we can learn here in Illinois from how they worked it all out.
Great.
We have Tom Brekka talking about how law affects the culture. And we have Chris Slattery, who runs 15 crisis pregnancy centers in New York, to tell us how those centers are gearing up for a post-Roe, when they will be probably serving a lot more women who need
right.
their assistance.
That is terrific. And that is on February 3rd. So friends, you want to get involved, come join us on January 6th for the Mass with Cardinal George at 5 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka. There's also the March for Life Pilgrimage, the Archdiocesan 1-2 Washington, Speak Out Illinois on Saturday, February 3rd. And there's also actually a local March for Life, just a very small one here in Chicago too. And you can call our office. We have a flyer on that. We're not actually organizing it, but of course we're very happy that other groups are. So you can give us a call at 312-751-5355 if you'd like to be involved with that as well. Joanne, thank you so much for joining us today on Life Talk. You are
fun
such
to
a
be
blessing.
With you.
A lot of fun.
you're celebrating fun. Christmas.
And yeah. yeah, Merry Christmas. We're going to head to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Yvonne Florzak-Seaman, and we're going to be talking about a new ministry for post-abortive women, the small groups, Bible-based groups that are support groups. It's a beautiful new ministry called A Time to Heal. Stay with us, friends. We're going to be right back with more fun and more enlightenment, more enrichment, building a culture of life here on Life Talk.
Here's an invitation for men in the Archdiocese of Chicago to attend ministry weekends at Mundelein Seminary, retreats designed to help men discern God's call to the priesthood. I'm Father Joe Noonan, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Ministry weekends feature presentations about diocesan priesthood, prayer, and discussion, all aimed at reaching a better understanding of God's movement in your life. For more information about these free retreats, call me, Father Joe Noonan, at 847- 970-4845 or visit our website, www.chicagopriest.org. I look forward to meeting you at our next ministry weekend, Friday, January 12th through Sunday, January 14th.
It's Morning Air with Sean Harriott and Wendy Weiss.
Wendy Weiss, up very, very early. You sound like you're awake.
I am highly caffeinated.
All right.
And I'm a huge fan of yours, as you know, because you gave me $25 to say that.
Listen to Morning Air with Sean Harriott and Wendy Weiss.
This is Glenn Hansen, and I'll have the latest weather for you, plus traffic time so you can get to work on time. Join us for Morning Air on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And you know, friends, we had some wonderful conversation with Joe and Ann Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League about this 34th anniversary of Roe versus Wade coming up on January 22nd, 2007. And of course, when we discuss abortion, the emphasis is generally on the unborn child. And rightly so, because this is an innocent human life that is being taken. And as we said, more than 47 million children have been killed through abortion since the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. 47 million, a staggering number of human lives. You know, those are our brothers and sisters in Christ who are no longer with us. They were here, but they're no longer here, and that is a tremendous tragedy. But behind every abortion, there's also a woman who is wounded, a woman who has been violated. Abortion is really not just an act of violence against the unborn child, but also it violates the sacred space of a woman's body. And some women call the Project Rachel hotline, which is a wonderful confidential post-abortion healing program. Some call us a few days after having an abortion, but many more are silent for a decade, some even more than 30 years before actually calling Project Rachel. Some have actually became active in the abortion advocacy movement, working for more abortion on demand, and then finally realizing that this has hurt them, that they are suffering in silence, and they decide that they are not going to live in denial any longer. And so today we are very blessed to have with us on the program a post-abortive woman who is really just a warrior for truth. She is truly a woman of courage, and we're so blessed to have with us today a woman who has written a wonderful book, journal for post-abortive women called A Time to Speak, and she leads that movement. And now she's also created a new ministry for post-abortive women in conjunction with Project Rachel, and I'm very blessed to have with us on the phone today Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. Yvonne, welcome to Life Talk.
Thank you so much, Mary Louise. I'm thrilled to be here.
It is such a blessing to have you on the show. And Yvonne, I understand, well, I understand. Actually, I know all about it, but I want our listeners to hear all about this great news that there is a new ministry called A Time to Heal.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit more about this. I understand that this is a support group for women, for post-abortive women. But tell us more details about what A Time to Heal is really about.
Well, A Time to Heal was birthed out of, like you said earlier, through A Time to Speak. It was the purpose of A Time to Heal is to allow women to understand that from the beginning of time, women have been making bad choices. I mean, we started with Eve. We all know what her bad choice was, you know, and her bad choice, unfortunately, affected us all. It still
affects
us.
Exactly. And where was Adam at that point, too? That's what we're always talking about.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys.
And so we kind of went back to the Bible and just kind of started looking through, I started looking through the Bible and realized that it was a pattern, a history. We're born and shaped in iniquity. You know, it's part of who we are, you know, and so we're going to make bad decisions. We're going to make bad choices in life. And so what I did was I researched some of these women's lives, you know, like Eve and Sarah. We all know the story of Sarah, the executive decision she made to have Hagar, you know, carry her child, and the fiasco that we have through that, you know, through that choice that was made. And so I went chronologically through the Old Testament, and I pulled out women that I felt were just really instrumental, that had made some really bad choices, but yet through those bad choices, God, in his infinite mercy, was able to turn those choices around and use their lives instrumentally to change history, to change our faith. And so I realized that post-abortive women walk around feeling like they made this choice, and it was a choice of death, and they have that cloud hanging over their head. But what they need to understand is that it doesn't have to stay at a death experience. It can be turned into life. Right. And we know that through our sacraments, through Calvary we were forgiven, through the act of the sacrament of reconciliation we're set free, and through the act of the sacrament of the Eucharist, you know, our death experience can be turned into life. And so it was through that all of this came together, and we realized we need a support group for these women. These women are sitting in our churches every year, and we memorialize the Holocaust of the unborn, which is rightfully so, because these poor innocent children are being slaughtered. However, what we're not realizing is that these women are sitting in our pews wondering, but is there any forgiveness for us? Because they really believe they have committed the unpardonable sin. And so this program, working in conjunction with Project Rachel, because to me Project Rachel is the post-abortive program of all post-abortive programs, because Project Rachel solely relies on those sacraments and the power of those sacraments to set these women free. And so once they get to that point, then, you know, the Bible study then would help them to understand why they continue to make the choices they're making, and get them to understand that they too can be used powerfully like these other women in the Bible.
That is beautiful. And Yvonne, I understand that many people are on board with this A Time to Heal, with
yes.
this small group Bible-based study. There's a scripture scholar at Mundelein Seminary, I understand,
yes.
who is involved. And in addition, also Vicki Thorne, the founder of Project Rachel, also
yes.
is very excited about this additional opportunity for post-abortive women to have this experience. And also Father Tom Eitenauer from Human Life International.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of renowned people in the pro-life movement with extensive experience with post-abortive women. And being a post-abortive woman yourself, Yvonne, tell us a little bit about what or who inspired you to write this Bible study.
Oh, that's interesting that you would ask that question, because it was actually your office.
Really?
I have been working with Margie Breen for 3 years now, and she's just a sweetheart to me. I always kind of picture her as an angel that God sent me
that
kind of
awesome.
Keeps me on, you know, on track. And she had called me and said, you know, Yvonne, I'm talking to these women through the Project Rachel hotline, and I work with Project Rachel very closely, and they're just so broken, and they need so much more. And she asked me, do you have anything like, you know, a program or anything? Do you have any? And I had told her that I had years ago started writing a Bible study, but had kind of put it on a shelf and never pursued it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, is that something that you would be interested in pursuing, or could you get something together? And, you know, she stayed on me diligently.
She keeps me on track, too.
I went before God and our Blessed Mother, and I'm like, okay, is there anything here? And sure enough, you know, I was taken into a valley where I was just kind of in a writing mode, and it all came together. And it really was because of her persistence. And I also have Patricia Bainbridge from the Rockford Diocese
yes.
that was on me. And just between these women that are so involved with Project Rachel, that are, you know, really in the forefront with these post-abortive women, were the ones that kind of kept me on track. And through the Holy Spirit and through the leading of God, this kind of came together. So it's a 12-week program, and it's 12 stories of 12 women, which is also like 12 stories of 12 women from the Time to Speak journal. So we kind of use the same format, and we're using in the journal, it talks about 12 women who share their abortion experience. And it
yes.
talks about the introduction of going deeper, but we don't really go deeper because we kind of put it in a format that we wanted that woman that was standing in the front lines of now to pick it up mm-hmm. and be able to be, to accept it.
Right.
And so this is teaching the women how to go deeper and how to get to that point. And obviously it's through Calvary and it's through the message of the sacraments that these women can be set free. And so we kind of use that format. And every week, like the first week, it's deterioration versus renewal. You know,
that
what Eve's
great.
Act was. You know what,
Yvonne? We need to head to a break. But when we come back, I want to talk with you a little bit about some of the specific lessons learned and connection points with these 12 women of the Bible that are in this 12-week small group study for post-abortive women. Friends, we're talking with Yvonne Florzak-Seaman from Love From Above Ministries here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 820 AM. And we're heading to a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing this exciting new ministry, A Time to Heal, with Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. Stay with us.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Join me, Chuck Neff, and our panel of spiritual advisors for The Inner Life. Get reliable spiritual direction from highly experienced Catholic priests who are able to guide you through the complexity of issues confronting your personal relationship with God. The Inner Life, heard here on Relevant Radio every weekday.
That's The Inner Life with Chuck Neff. Weekday afternoons at 1 on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, we're talking with Yvonne Florzak-Seaman as we're approaching this 34th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, the Supreme Court decision that opened the door to abortion on demand for any reason whatsoever throughout all 9 months of pregnancy and even during birth. And we've been discussing how behind every abortion, there's not only the tragedy of an unborn child being killed and that life being lost forever, but also a woman being wounded, and about a new beautiful ministry that is launching in February for post-abortive women, women who have experienced abortion, to bring them that healing, that hope that Jesus Christ wants to give them. Because these women, friends, as you may see from our wonderful guest, Yvonne, these women become some of the greatest advocates for life in our society today. I just have such tremendous respect and love for this young lady who's on the phone with us, Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. And Yvonne, before we went to the break, you were talking with us a little bit about some of the women of the Bible who are featured through this small group study for post-abortive women. Tell us a little bit about who your favorite woman of the Bible is who is featured in this Bible study, and kind of what lessons are learned through the lives of these women who, as you said, you know, have make poor choices, but then God brings them redemption and kind of changes their lives around in spite of them kind of going off of God's path.
Well, there's just so many, but I do have a few favorites. Probably one of my very favorites is the story of Leah. And in the story of Leah, it's week 4, and it talks about insignificance versus pricelessness. Mm. And how many times these women, these post-abortive women, feel so insignificant and feel like there's no reason why they should even live, because no one would ever understand why they made the choice, and the fact that they even made the choice, that they ended the life of their children. Who would ever respect a woman like that? And what the story brings out is how God sees, you know, the pricelessness of who we are, and how he can take an ugly situation, he can take the evils of our past and turn them into good. And the story of Leah talks about how, you know, Jacob had worked 7 years to marry Rachel because he loved Rachel. And after working 7 years, Rachel's father, Laban, had fooled him and had actually sent Leah in for
right,
after
I remember
the marriage,
this.
Sent in Leah.
Right.
And so,
so
the next morning, Jacob wakes up and he realizes he's with Leah and he's not with Rachel, and he's absolutely horrified. You know, and he goes back to Laban and he's like, "What? Well, you know, you fooled me, and why did you do this? And I worked for..." So he made him work another 7 years for Rachel. But during those years, Leah was his wife, was his first wife. And
yes.
She knew that he loved Rachel, that he didn't love her. And so many of these post-abortive women live in these relationships. They're yearning for someone to love them with that agape, perfect love. And they're stuck with these women, these men that are, they're dysfunctional relationships, you know?
Yes.
They're abusive relationships. And they feel like they have to take it because they ended the life of their child, so this is all that they deserve, you know? And so it talks, you know, it goes on to her, into her story, and as you continue to research her story, you realize that although Jacob loved Rachel, and Rachel was the one he worked so hard for, it was Leah that God fixed his eyes on as being the priceless one, and it was through the womb of Leah that came forth Judah, who eventually came forth the line of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And so though Rachel was the one that Jacob wanted so desperately and he loved so much, it was through Leah, and Leah continued to give him son after son, thinking that as she gave him sons that Jacob would eventually love her. And Rachel was barren. We all know the story of Rachel. She was barren until the very end. And so Leah continued to give him son after son after son, and it wasn't until she had Judah that she realized, you know what, I'm giving this son to God. And it was through that son that brought forth the Messiah. And so the story here is to let women know, you know, that no matter what our surroundings are in life, the validation and the perfect agape love can come from the Almighty God. And he has forgiven us if we, through the sacraments, as Project Rachel teaches us, through those powerful sacraments of reconciliation, if we come with a humble heart of humility and repent, God yes. can take us, restore us, and there's no telling what he can do. I mean, I had five abortions, and here we're getting ready to launch a ministry called A Time to Heal. And I'm thrilled to death because God has surrounded this ministry with validation through individuals who are scholars and, you know, and have a voice. And so we're very excited.
Oh,
that's just
God.
One among 12. Story's unbelievable.
And that is so powerful. And you give each woman, or you provide them a Bible verse for them to learn, to meditate on and to pray and to memorize for that week, which
that's
a new thing for us as Catholics. Not new,
there's exercises for them to do all week, and then they have to come back and share their, you know, how it went. And so it's pretty amazing.
That is
fantastic.
I'm pretty excited. That is so powerful. You know, we need to head to another break, actually. But when we come back, we're going to be chatting Yvonne more about A Time to Heal and how people can get involved in helping or joining these Time to Heal small groups that are going to be launching in the Archdiocese of Chicago and other dioceses in Illinois. We're going to be talking about all this and more when we come back. So stay with us, friends. We're here on Life Talk, Relevant Radio, 820 AM. We'll be right back with Yvonne Florzak-Steeman of Love From Above Ministries. Stay with us. This is just a quick break, and we will be right back with you.
Charities annual celebration of giving is underway. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invite you to join in the celebration of giving this holiday season. I'm Father Mike Boland, asking you to help children and their families unwrap the spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or better yet, hosting a toy gathering party. For more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Again, for more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit us at www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Make a difference this holiday season. Donate to Catholic Charities.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a Christmas greeting for Relevant Radio listeners. Dear friends, as we prepare for the glorious celebration of Christ's birth and the promise of His return in glory, we look again at the many ways that we meet Christ in our lives. May the presence of the newborn Christ bring the blessings of peace and love upon your family in this season. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio, and Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to Life Talk on this ninth day of Christmas, January 3rd, 2007. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing the upcoming 34th anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade and Dole v. Bolton decisions. That 34th anniversary will be on January 22nd, 2007. And particularly right now, we're talking about a new ministry for post-abortive women. We know more than 47 million abortions have taken place since the Roe v. Wade decision, and behind every abortion is not only the tragedy of a child being killed, but also a woman being seriously wounded. And we're talking about a ministry that brings the peace, the love, the hope that Jesus Christ brings, that forgiveness to post-abortive women. We're talking with Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. And Yvonne, as we only have about 3 minutes left, but I did want to just share with our listeners this wonderful letter that where Cardinal George sent a letter to all priests about the Roe v. Wade anniversary, and he talked about your Bible study, actually, this new ministry for post-abortion healing. Cardinal George wrote, "I also am pleased to announce a new ministry for post-abortion healing as an addition to the Project Rachel ministry that the Respect Life Office has offered for many years. A Time to Heal, a 12-week small group Bible-based program for post-abortive women will be offered in several parishes throughout the Chicago area." And then he talks about interested persons may call the Project Rachel hotline at 888-456-HOPE, 888-456-HOPE, for more information or to register for this program. So, Yvonne, Cardinal George is pumped up about your new program, A Time to Heal. Now, who can sign up for this 12-week small support group for post-abortive women?
You know, every woman that's sitting out there in the pew that feels that there's no hope, that feels that they kind of have to live with their past, that woman, that's the one we're calling out, wanting to come forward. And we are also looking for lay facilitators as well. We just went through a 5-week training where we train all of our leaders and co-leaders in these groups through, we have a clinical psychologist who has done all the training for the small groups and stuff. And so anyone who feels a burden or feels a calling to work with post-abortive women, we can put them into this program either on the side of teaching it or on the side of receiving it.
Praise God. And if you're listening to this show, friends, and you'd like to sign up for the Bible study, call our Project Rachel hotline. That's 888-456-HOPE. That's 888-456-HOPE. Or you can also call our main line at the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355 and ask for Margie Breen. That's 312-751-5355. And Yvonne, just a minute left here, but I know that several dioceses are doing this, not just us, but also, and these are launching in February, so Archdiocese of Chicago, also Joliet and Rockford Dioceses, which is very exciting.
And Peoria is interested in doing it as well.
Oh,
we're
praise God.
Excited.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. And Yvonne, any final thoughts about this this very important new program, A Time to Heal for Post-Abortive Women, this 12-week study where women meet on a weekly basis to have fellowship with one another and learn through the women of the Bible and continue their journey to healing and forgiveness?
Well, I think that it's also, it will give a solution, somewhat of a solution, to priests out there that continue to hear the same confession of the same woman over and over again because she can't seem to move forward, that he can refer her to the Project Rachel ministry, and through that ministry they can come to A Time to Heal and share with other women and learn from other women that we don't have to stay stuck, that our evils can be turned into good and hope for the future.
Praise God. Yvonne, you are such a blessing to the pro-life movement and to all women. Thank you for showing us the importance of motherhood and what a gift that is, and also continuing that healing journey.
Amen.
God bless you. That's Yvonne Florzak-Seaman. Thank you, Yvonne, from Love From Above Ministries. And friends, that wraps up this Life Talk edition. Join us next month, first Wednesday of the month, 9 to 10 a.m. God bless you all. Stay with us for more great programming on Relevant Radio 820 a.m.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 a.m. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.